Welcome to the Covenant People's Ministry. It is written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We invite you to study the Scriptures with us to learn about the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our pastor is Mr. Jeremy Visser from Hampton, Georgia. You can contact us with your questions and comments at covenantpeoplesministry.org. We would like to hear from you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that His will continue to reign upon us all. Once again, welcome to the Covenant People's Ministry, and here is Pastor Visser with our next Bible study.
Hello, this is Pastor Visser, and the topic is Yahweh's Food Laws. Why hearken? Good morning. Many weeks back, I brought forth a sermon called Yahweh's Food Laws, Why Listen?, where we covered the specific food laws found in both Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. In that particular study, I promised to bring this second part with even more biblical and scientific proofs that not everything that can be found at the local grocery store meat counter is fit to eat. So I hope that today's topic will provide further attestation to the fact that Yahweh's Word is perfect. In truth, I had hoped that much more time would have passed before once again picking up the topic of biblical food laws. But in recent debates, I've noticed an extremely hard-hearted attitude towards following the clearly defined dietary habits that our Creator Jesus would have us to follow. Surprisingly, the justifications for eating what God has forever cursed come mostly from self-professing Christians who feel that following these eternal laws mean that they would be Judaized by doing so. From these types of ignorant statements, one can safely deduct that these same so-called believers are in reality fictional Judeo-Christians, because within their own words, they also claim that the Jews are somehow God's chosen by misidentifying them as Israelites. Furthermore, when judging by their own fruits, we can also add them into the same category as the modern-day Khazars who push this type of lawlessness on the Goyim, using almost every resource known to them. To oversimplify, those among the Christian faith who refuse to follow the eternal law in which we're judged according to by Yahweh, it would simply be Antichrist. Someone asks, how on earth can somebody come to that conclusion? The answer is very simple. To deny the Mosaic law is to deny the clear-cut teachings of the Bible that state it was Jesus Christ who gave those perfect laws and adamantly protested that one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, as we read in Matthew 5:18. The biblical definition of Antichrist is one who denies Jesus as Christ and in essence believes that Emmanuel is not God with us, meaning Yahweh himself. In short, those who deny Paul's plain teachings in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, that the rock was Christ, further deny Jesus his rightful position as God. I put this forth not to create any enemies, nor to even suggest that those who refuse to listen should be counted as adversaries. This is food for thought so we can be wiser. It's a sad state of affairs when so-called Christians choose to dismiss over two-thirds of God's Word, feeling that it's somehow obsolete or not binding, when the only biblical definition of sin is a transgression of the law, as we can read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, and that's also found in the New Testament. It seems that many people would rather pervert the title of Christian by using it as a shield to promote all manner of wickedness and instead give heed to Jewish fables and love the lie. While a majority of Saxons with morals would never even consider eating a vulture nor slug, many love to suggest that the mud-dwelling pig is magically now made clean with the help of man. Facts remain, the swine is listed by name as a filthy beast numerous times in both the Old and New Testaments, and the increased intake of this abomination by mankind is a surefire sign of the end times apostasy. This sermon will focus a lot more on the grubby swine. When studying the Mosaic Law, one must always remember one thing. That law is forever. While Jesus Christ certainly abolished the statutes or blood rituals, being the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, as we can read in Revelation 13:8, his entire ministry was also devoted to teaching the same law and correcting those who'd fallen aside to Pharisaical perversions. There are well over 100 recorded events where our Savior corrected the masses by simply saying, "It is written." The reason for this is the eternal law. Here's a few quick examples. Leviticus 3:17, quote, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood," end quote. Leviticus 10, verses 9 and 10, quote, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee. When ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that ye may put a difference between the holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. End quote. Leviticus 16:31, quote, it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by statute forever. End quote. Leviticus 23:31, quote, ye shall do no manner of work on the Sabbath. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. End quote. Deuteronomy 4:39-40, quote, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that Yahweh is God in heaven alone, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which Yahweh thy God giveth thee, forever. End quote. Deuteronomy 12:28, quote, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of Yahweh thy God. End quote. Deuteronomy 19:9, quote, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love Yahweh thy God, and to walk ever, or forever, in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee, besides these 3. End quote. Deuteronomy 29:29, quote, the secret things belongeth unto Yahweh our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. End quote. Ecclesiastes 12:13, quote, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. End quote. Luke 6:46, Jesus' words, quote, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? End quote. Surely everyone here this morning can agree that forever really means forever, because that's exactly what these verses are saying. We've established 3 important facts thus far. Number 1, God's law itself is eternal. Number 2, Jesus as God taught these same laws. And number 3, sin means a transgression of these same laws. Now, if these same food laws are eternal and ever-binding, then we should be able to trust that Yahweh knows what's in our best interest to eat, even if we don't. Taking this one step further, we could simply mention that Jesus is the Word from the beginning, as we read in John 1:1, the Alpha and Omega, as we read in Revelation 1:8, and the Living Word, according to Revelation 19:13. So man's refusal to accept the unity of the Scriptures is in essence denying the Messiah himself who birthed these same laws. God in the Old Covenant says, quote, for I am Yahweh, I change not, end quote. That's Malachi 3:6. And the New Covenant exclaims, quote, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, end quote. That's Hebrews 13:8. Moreover, according to Exodus 20, verse 3, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 7, the first and foremost command is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, further proving that those who refuse to acknowledge Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we read in 1 Timothy 6:15, are serving another God not found in our testaments, who is without a doubt one, as you can read in John 10:30, and equal in all aspects. Neither the Scriptures nor God changes. Thus, those who speak of contradictions in the Bible serve a contradictory and changing God as well. Friends, about the silliest thing I've heard this week was a fellow Christian that suggested pork was now made clean because Jesus had cast demons into the pigs, resulting in their death. I'm certainly not clear on how this theology would suddenly make swine any cleaner of food, because by my reasoning, the account would make them even more forbidden to eat by Christians. This concept is a prime example of new doctrine, so we should read the account itself, found in Matthew chapter 8. Verses 28 through 34, before any more fall aside to this damnable heresy. Quote, when he, speaking of Jesus, was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him 2 possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. End quote. As we can see, there were two men possessed by demons that were exceeding fierce and very dangerous. As soon as Jesus draws near to these unfortunate men, the demons ask him, quote, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? End quote. And further request to be cast into the filthy swine nearby. Devils and demons in the scripture are also considered unclean spirits, as we can read in Matthew 12:43, meaning that they can only occupy an unclean vessel or an unrepentant sinner, not vice versa. Let's see how Christ answers these demons. Quote, And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and, behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And, behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. End quote. As we can see, the Messiah grants their silly request to go into the nearby swine, but as a result, the hindered hogs become frenzied and run down a hill into the ocean waters and perish. This is yet another proof that Jesus was God, because only Yahweh can kill evil spirits. But what we need to focus on here is what happens afterwards. The ungrateful hog farmers run into town to complain, and in turn, the townsfolk request that Jesus Christ leave. Things never change when it comes to the love of money, as we can read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Before continuing, I ask you, does this story sound like Jesus had a change of heart and made the forever cursed pig fit to eat? As near as I can tell, Christians who might fall aside to this twisted logic somehow spiritualize this account and assume that because the unclean spirits were cast into unclean pigs, that they were somehow made clean. It's sort of like the new math that is taught in our government indoctrination centers known as public schools. That is, 1 + 1 = nothing. Twist as they like, the theory just doesn't fit. Another interesting tidbit of deranged logic from those who like to preach lawlessness comes to us from the unholy Roman Catholic Church. These double-minded pagans like to perpetuate the false myth that Jesus was somehow Jewish, and they also promote the false doctrine known as Judeo-Christianity, all the while refusing to even follow the ways of their own Jewish Christ. In fact, they flat out teach that it's against Catholic religion to even eat kosher foods. Good luck trying anyways. In 1465 AD, the Council of Vannes in France said, quote, Everyone, successively, whether clergy or lay, is to avoid conviviality with the Jews, and is not to accept any conviviality with them, because, when among Christians they do not use the common food, it is shameful and sacrilegious that their food be taken by Christians, since the things that we take with permission of the apostle are judged unclean by them. And so, Christians begin to become inferior to the Jews, if we use what is laid out by them. But they spurn what is offered by us. End quote. While I intentionally refuse speaking on the false Roman Church outside of the glorious fact that their own Jewish Pope John Paul II died on the very date of this year's solar Passover, surely we should look at how ludicrous this statement is. While it's certainly possible for a Christian to follow a strict diet of biblically clean foods, one would almost have to completely abstain from ever shopping at mainstream supermarkets and refuse about 85% of all name brand items found within them to live unkosher. This statement should not be seen as a promotion of the many kosher food taxes that have inflated our American food dollars over the years, yet it's because of these same taxes that I can make this claim. In time, I will bring you a sermon on how to recognize the various symbols on food packaging that identify it as kosher or approved by Jews, and you might just well be surprised at how many there are. In fact, in that study, we'll look at the root of the word kosher and where it's found in our Bibles as well. Nonetheless, I bring up this perplexing fact for two reasons. Number one, it's the Catholics who are now pushing this new demonic pork theory, and number two, we should be able to notice that the ever-changing Roman Church of over 1,500 years ago taught entirely different than it does today. While the serious follower of Jesus Christ might be aware that this same pagan cult is responsible for more Christian deaths than any other group in history, the milquetoast believer might not, so I suggest a self-study if in doubt. In the previous sermon, I discussed a few of the passages that antinomians used to push the filthy boar on well-meaning Christians, mainly the infamous axe answer in Jesus' own teaching on hand-washing. As you can already gather from this particular sermon, nothing is too outrageous and no verse is safe when it comes to those who seek to justify their own lawlessness in the Bible. Still, we should probe deeper at three particular passages that are found in Isaiah that many swine eaters purposely overlook. Starting in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 2 through 5, we read, quote, "I, Yahweh, have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way not good, after their own thought, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifice in gardens, and burn incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, and lodge in the mountains, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things are in their vessels, which say, Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, and a fire that burneth all the day." End quote. We should all be able to deduct from this passage alone that the way considered not good by God is people who walk after their own thoughts or inventions. Furthermore, these same people who refuse God's law, or way, provoke him to anger continually, and again, the eating of pig is listed by name as one of the things that offend. Notice that the hypocrites who engage in this filthy practice consider themselves holier than thou? Nothing ever changes. Also, in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 4, it says, quote, "Thus saith Yahweh, the heaven is my throne, and the earth my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahweh. But to this will I look, to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not." End quote. Practically building on the same theme of those who feel more holy than God by throwing out his perfect food laws, comes this great passage proving Yahweh chooses those who are poor, of a contrite spirit, and tremble at God's word and commandments. We also find the use of two negative contrasts, the dog and the hog. Yahweh says these lawless souls delight in their filth, so he hands them over to delusions and fears because they refuse to listen to the clear-cut word of God. Finally, a few passages later, in Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 17, we can read this end-time prophecy. Quote, "For behold, Yahweh will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will Yahweh plead with all flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh, and the abomination, and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith Yahweh." Indeed, even those who possess a public school education should be able to gather that this is speaking of the quote-unquote second coming of Christ. Yahweh returns with fire in anger against all flesh, and many will be slain. Once again, we discover that those who eat the disgusting pig shall, not might, be consumed together, like all things that offend. This is a very serious situation for those who choose to risk their own interpretations over what is plainly written. Is it worth it? God's food laws are important because what we eat directly affects both our physical and mental health. And depending on how clean or unclean our bodies are, regulates our portion of the Holy Spirit that simply refuses to dwell in an unclean vessel. The lawless will stoop to almost retarded levels of justification for their reasons to refuse God's eternal law. And nowhere in Scripture can we accuse others because Jesus says, "I have foretold you all things." We can't blame Billy Graham or the CSCS. Extreme idiots love to dream up long lists of animals that are so-called created by man. And just this week, this pastor heard another Christian put forth the theory that the chicken is just as dirty as the pig because it's supposedly man-made. I say to you that man doesn't possess the ability to create anything, rather pervert what Yahweh had already made perfect in the beginning. I simply asked if the cock that crowed when Peter denied Christ was made in a laboratory, ending the futile conversation. Many New Testament Christians like to point out that James wrote, quote, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all," end quote. As if this verse says we shouldn't strive to keep Yahweh's food laws. In reality, this complete passage is a teaching on the law, further proving that those who do strive to do as Jesus says are double blessed for doing so. People who use this verse to eat dung meat will most likely also throw a baby out with the bathwater. Those who are not familiar with the Israel message will at times rebuke you for doing as commanded because they're not given the eyes to see from Jesus. This is most likely the most dangerous type of all. Many people, Christian and atheist alike, detest the Jews to the point that they can't see they've really been Judaized and will attack true believers, calling them Jewish for following Christian commandments. Only a study into the marks of Israel might help these poor souls. My intention with this morning's study is to show you that Yahweh cares enough about us to give us guidelines and standards to live by. We can't serve both God and mammon, so a decision must be made when deciding who has our best interests in mind. A person who says the forever soiled swine is now okay to eat because man has invented refrigerators is in essence saying that God is imperfect and that man knows better than him. Let's not fall into that trap. Ironically, you might just find that it's these same antinomians who refuse Yahweh's food laws that will pick and choose what they feel applies to their life. For example, charge up their cherished credit cards and they'll quickly say, "Thou shalt not steal." Or question their faulty traditions and they might say, "Honor thy mother and father." The fact of the matter is, if they refuse to live by the law and the covenants, they're considered strangers anyway.
Covenant People Ministry.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you have enjoyed studying with us. Remember the words that Christ has given, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We hope that you will gather together with us at the online ministry's website, which is covenantpeoplesministry.org, and share your Christian testimonies or ask questions and enjoy biblical fellowship. You can also order CDs of Pastor Visser's Bible studies and enjoy many other Christian resources through the church's website at covenantpeoplesministry.org. Thanks again, and may the love of Christ abide in you and yours forever and ever. Amen.